Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tom Dart with the Automobile Dealers Association of Alabama in Montgomery, and we appreciate your participating in our call this afternoon to learn about OneSpot, a new program that will ease your ability to file city and county sales, use, and lease taxes that begins October 1st. A couple of housekeeping notes. You should have had two handouts that came with the email that gave you the call-in number. If you've had trouble opening those, give us a call and we'll fax them to you. Our phone number here is 334-271-4625. So just call us and we'll be glad to fax you something or re-email it to you. In addition to that, because of the large number of people on the call, we're not able to open the phone lines for questions, but we will take questions along the way by email. For the auto dealers on the call, if you'll just email me, tdart, T-D-A-R-T, at adaaweb.com. Or for the retailers, Allison Wingate, A. Wingate, W-I-N-G-A-T-E, at alabamaretail.org. If you'll send those to us, we will ask the questions as we go through the presentation today. I might mention before we start, if you really want some hands-on training on this program, there'll be a session tomorrow in Montgomery at the Alabama Department of Revenue on 50 North Ripley Street from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There'll be a seminar, then they'll actually have computers where you can learn hands-on how to do this. So if you'd like to do that in addition to this, that would be great. If you have some people in your business who couldn't participate today, we hope within a day or so to have this presentation on our website so you'll be able to look at it again. So with no further ado, I'm going to turn the call over to Rick Brown, who's the president of the Alabama Retail Association here in Montgomery.
Thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure to introduce to everyone Julie McKee. She's the Revenue Commissioner of the State of Alabama. She's been doing this since 2011. Julie is a great commissioner, and we all have great relationships with her, and she's doing a great job for the state of Alabama. So without any more waiting, here's Ms. McKee.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you to everybody who called in today. We're really excited to have this opportunity to talk to you about a project that we've had in development for well over a year now. OneSpot is optional for you to use. We think you're going to love it so much that you're going to use it for all of your sales tax, rental tax needs. We go live October 1st. We would like to go through a sort of a demonstration on a high level on how it works. We are available for questions and via email, so we encourage you to take notes. And please send us your questions so that we can make sure we have all questions answered quickly. And with no more delay, I think we'll get started. I'm going to turn you over to Wanda now. Thank you again.
Hi, this is Wanda Robbins. I'm with the Sales and Use Tax Division of the Alabama Department of Revenue. And the handout or the program that you were provided is the filing non-state administered localities in My Alabama Taxes. That's the one spot to file beginning October 1st. State-administered and non-state-administered localities are on the local return. Local governments have the option to administer their own taxes, so they are self-administered, or they can hire someone to administer those taxes for them. Some hire the state. Some hire other third-party administrators, such as RDS, Crockers, or Stacks. Those are some you may be familiar with. All of those localities, even the ones with third-party administrators, will be available to be filed in My Alabama Taxes beginning October 1st. Starting with the second page of the handout is the list of the current self-administered localities that use My Alabama Taxes as their e-filing services. So these localities are already online and can be filed through My Alabama Taxes along with the state-administered. On the next page is step one, signing into My Alabama Taxes. Most of our taxpayers have already moved over from the paperless filing system to My Alabama Taxes, so you've probably already got your login information, and you can log in there to get to your returns, your state returns and the local return. If you've not yet switched over from the old system to the new, you would click on the sign up and register or add access to your account at that point. Step two, when you first log in, that brings you to My Accounts list, and it shows all the accounts that you have access to. If you do not yet see the local tax account, type in your list, you would need to add access. And you could add access to that local tax account by going to the View Edit Map Profile to the left of the screen and clicking that link, and it will bring up a tab that says Manage Logons. Once you click on the Manage Logons, there's access to my accounts, and that will provide a list of all of the ADOR tax accounts for your business. You would then click the None link for the local tax account status. It would say None. You would click that link. It'll provide a pop-up, and you will change that from None to File and Pay and save that change. Once you've saved that, you can click the Home link, and it brings you back to that page that shows your list of accounts, and your local tax account will be located on that screen. To file the local tax account return, you would click the local account ID, which starts out with the LCL, and that brings you to the period screen. We're on step 3, and this identifies this taxpayer as a debit filer. We select on this screen to the right, there are messages. If you see the return not filed, that does not mean you've never filed a locality. That just means that you have not filed a state-administered locality on this account. If you're a quarterly filer with a locality, such as a self-administered or a third-party administered locality, if you're quarterly but your state filer, a monthly filer with the state, you would then just select that period ending for that quarter to file the return. So if it's, for example, for a July through September quarterly return, you would file the September monthly period in My Alabama Taxes. If you do not have tax periods available on your local tax account, you will need to call the local tax section with the Department of Revenue so that they can update your periods instantaneously. Please call them at 334-242-1490. Again, that number is 334-242-1490. And that is if you get to your local return and there are no periods listed there for you. To file a return, you would click on the File Now link for that period. And that brings you to step 5, which is the return table screen. You would click on the return table. That takes you to step 6 and fill out the spreadsheet type table that's in that table. To add a locality, there are multiple ways to do that. The initial way would be in the locality field, the green locality field, which is selected here as Hoover. You would begin typing the locality's name, or either just use the drop-down arrow and go select the locality. On this document here, it does not show an update that's been made to the system. There is now a color code legend above the return table, and that lets you know that green fields are for editing, white fields are for information, yellow fields are required fields, and red fields are fields that are in error. On the next page, would like to point out that you can add localities to the table in different methods. There is the import method that's at the top of the page. You click on the download import template and save that template to your computer, and you can input all of your local information in that spreadsheet and upload that file. So if you have many, or even if you just have a few, you can use this import template to quickly update your whole return table without having to enter them one by one. You can also, at the bottom, click on the copy record. If you already have a locality on the return, you can click on the copy record and add another locality. On this screen, it shows Hoover is the first column. If you click copy record, it'll immediately to the right, it'll show the next, that it will show Hoover again, and you would just update the fields below that, or you can just click in the green field to the right of Hoover and add that locality. On step 7, once you've entered all the information that is on the return that you need to file, you will click the OK button. The table shows five columns of data at a time. There will be four fields that will be filled and one empty field, so if you ever need to add localities again, you can add those. On the next page is talking about showing errors. So if you have an error on your return, we have highlighted here, there are two pages on the sample return. The first return, the first page was clear. The second page, number two, has an asterisk, so that indicates there is an error on that page that you'll need to fix before you can file the return. You can click on the number two to go to the second page and find the locality that needs to be corrected, or you can click on the show errors, and that will bring only the items in error to the front for you to correct. There's also a filter field on this screen right above the first line of the table. If you have many localities on here and you need to go to one particular one, you can just type in that locality's name and press the Enter key, and that will take you to that locality. On step eight, once you click the OK button, if you have municipalities, cities, or towns that you have on your return, you will have a pop-up that will come up and remind you of any county taxes that may be due. You can click OK on this. It's just letting you know that there's a button now available on your table. And step nine shows you the county expectancies button. That's now available. You would click that county's expectancy button to see the detailed information regarding the counties that may be due. If your municipality is in more than one county, both counties will be shown, and it will be up to you to choose the correct county to be added to your return. The county information, it lists the corresponding city or town that prompted that expectancy. To add that county to the return, you would just click in the Generate box and click the OK, and that will add it to the return, or you can leave it blank and click Cancel and not add it to return. Since this is an optional filing system for the non-state administered, it would not be required to be filed here, but we hope that you would take the advantage of filing everything in one place and add that county to the return. On step 13, after you've added all your localities to the return and you've clicked the OK button, it brings you back out to the return table page where you would be shown whether the return table is valid or if there are errors. It will have a red X indicating there are errors, and you would need to go back in and correct those. But if everything is good, you're ready to click the next button. Step 14, it shows you a summary of the overview of what is on your return filing. There are two columns of information. The first column shows the state-administered local tax information that is on your return. This one indicates there were two state-administered localities on the return, and there were two non-state-administered localities. To see a breakdown of those, you can either go back to the previous and look at the return table, or at the top of this page, there's a Review Return Table button. Through the Review Return Table button, it'll also give you a breakdown of any discounts and penalties or interest that may have been applied to the return. If you have a credit available for the state-administered portion of the return that can be used, you would enter that in the credit claim field that's available. That field is not available for non-state-administered localities, so you would need to contact that locality or their administrator regarding using any credits. Step 15 is what I just went over, the credit. So we'll move on to step 18, or it should have been step 16, I'm sorry. On this, this is the payment page. It gives information regarding the return period and when it's due and the remit due date of the payment. It talks about the debit block information, so if you have a debit block on your bank account, you would need to provide three different company IDs to your bank so that the payments will process and not be rejected. Below the debit block information, It talks about the it breaks out the amount that's due to the state as to the Department of Revenue as well as to the non-state administered localities. Those are lump sums amounts that are referenced there. They have an opt-out option for the ADOR. If you opt out, then you're, if it's less than $750 that's due to the state administered portion, then you would be provided the access to pay by check by mailing a voucher. You do not have that option for the non-state administered localities. If you file the non-state administered locality on the return, you must also pay electronically. Step 19, in the blue box on the payment page, there is a view details that gives the breakdown of the taxes that are due. Clicking that will just give a little pop-up, and it's just a quick and simple way to see exactly what payments are going to be sent to which localities. On step 20, we're moving on down to the banking information. If the return is a timely return, the payment date is editable, and you can move that payment, warehouse it out to the due date. If it's a delinquent return, the field is not editable. You would complete all the banking information that's on that page to set up your electronic payment. The first time you may need to save your payment source so that you do not have to enter it again the next month. Step 21, if you find in the previous month that you had entered banking information that was incorrect, or if you've had changed banks or account information, you would be able to click the new payment source, and that will make those fields editable where you can change the information and then click the payment source saved button again to save that for future use. Step 22 talks again about the new payment information. Like I said, that would be how you would be able to edit any payment information. If all the payment information is correct, then you're ready to submit the return with payment. And that will take you to the confirmation page. And on that page, it gives you a confirmation number that you would be able to provide if you're ever required, asked for proof of filing. You can print this confirmation. As it is shown here, you can print the return, which is a PDF version of your complete filing. And I would like, I'm sorry, I did skip one step on the return table. So if you don't mind, if you would go back to at least step seven. On this page, I would just like to point out the different items that are on the return table. You have the locality, which is the name. You select that name, and the next field is the code that is pre-populated for you. So that's not a code that you have to remember to put in there. The tax type is what you select. These tax types are dynamic to the locality. So if they do not administer or do not levy a rental tax, a lease tax, that would not be listed in their drop-down for the tax type. The rate type is also dynamic to the tax type levied by that locality. The one-time field, you would not want to select the one-time field unless you only had a sale there one time. By selecting the one-time filing field, you're saying remove this locality from my return for future filings. So you would want to leave that unselected so that it'll be on your return each month. The jurisdiction account field, that is a field where you would enter the self-administered or the third-party administered assigned tax account number. So if you have, such as City of Auburn taxes, you would put the Auburn account number in that field that they have assigned to you. The state administered do not require the jurisdiction account number, so those fields are in white. Uh, We had a question regarding whether you have to file sales tax electronically. No, you do not have to file the non-state administered taxes electronically. This is an optional system for the non-state administered. For the state administered taxes, yes, you would be required to file those as you're required to file electronically for the state and state administered local taxes. However, we do encourage the use of this single point of filing system. I'm going to glance back over any of the questions we may have had. And we can answer. Okay. All right. We're going to take the mute off, so if you have any questions, you can ask those.
Is there a way that you can pay the different ones at different times? I file five different sales taxes.
Okay. The question was whether we can pay, if you can pay on different dates.
Right.
Okay. No, you cannot. You have one date that you can select to pay all state and non-state administered local taxes that are on that one return.
Okay. Can we pay the state separate from the local?
If it's on with a state return, yes, that is a separate return. It is in my Alabama taxes. It's just a separate
okay.
return.
Okay. All right.
Do we have any other questions?
If you have two cities in two different counties, you file them both on this same tax form, right?
That's right. You would file all city and county taxes on this one return.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any other questions?
You can file rental along with the sales tax, or does the rental have to be a separate form?
For the local tax return, that is a consolidated return. So you can file your sales, consumer's use, seller's use, and rental tax. And also for the state administered, we have lodgings tax, and some of the self-administered that uses our system, their lodgings tax can also be filed on that one return in that one period.
Thank you.
If you already have your state sales tax set up, all you have to do is just add one more locality. Is that what we're saying?
Right. If you already have your state or your state account on the system, you would go through that edit view map profile, the manage logons and add access to my accounts, just to get that the state's local tax account number in that field.
Okay. Thank you.
The man that was talking to begin with said that they hoped in a couple of days to have the this available to rework again if we have questions about it. Does that automatically be sent to us to access, or do we need to apply for it?
Hold on 1 second. Let me ask him that question. He's unable to hear you. He is asking about the... Requested. Okay, he said that if they're going to put it on their website, and they'll let you know when it's available.
Okay, great. I have a feeling I'll need to review.
Okay.
Are there any localities that are not included?
Well, it's not optional for the locality. It's only optional for the taxpayer to use it. So if you file and pay electronically through this system, they're required to accept that return.
I couldn't tell from looking at this. Do you still have the 66% on the state that you pay the estimate on each month?
On the state return, yes, sir. They still have an estimate.
Okay.
You know, for those that are in that bracket. There's not an estimate on the local return.
Right.
And you'll go through the same system to pay your withholding taxes quarterly?
That's true. That's true. Every state account that you have, whether it be sales, use, rental, lodgings, withholding, prepaid wireless, any of the state accounts that you would be filing, you can file through My Alabama Taxes.
Thank you.
So did I understand that all city and counties will be available to do this on October 1st?
That's correct. On October 1st, all city and county sales, use, and rental taxes will be available through this one return.
So if I pay Mobile County taxes now, I'll be able to do that through here starting October 1st?
That's right.
Thank you.
We cannot file our August ones on it yet, though?
No, the system will not be open up for all the localities until October 1st, so the September return will be the first one that you'll be able to file.
Okay, thank you. But we are already filing our state sales tax on it.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I think I'm already filing my state sales taxes on it.
You probably are, because the majority of our taxpayers have already moved over to the new system.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably already there doing the state. And if you have any state administrators or one of the self-administered youth, you may already be on the local return.
Oh, okay.
Have any other questions?
Question.
One point I did not touch on the during that walkthrough there was that if you have done your return before 4 p.m., you do have the ability to go in and edit it. So if you find out that you've made a mistake, you have before 4 p.m. to fix that and resubmit the return. If it's after 4 p.m., though, you would need to either contact the state or that self-admin local government or their administrator regarding amending that return.
Okay. Can you go ahead and file it like this week and have it for the date for it to be the taxes to come out on the 20th?
That's right, you can. That's what we call warehousing the payment, and
okay.
That field is editable on the payment screen,
automotive.
So you're able to change that date, and it will allow you to change it as far out as the due date.
That's good, because I was having computer problems when I filed last month, and I was afraid it didn't even go through.
Okay.
I found out the next day it did.
Okay.
Okay, and we just need to apply for a user ID and log on for the Department of Revenue to use this system?
Right. If you have not yet been using My Alabama Taxes to file any of your returns for the state, then you would just go to the My Alabama Taxes page, click on the sign up, and go through that sign up procedure.
I've been using the Department of Revenue, just the old one.
The paperless? Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that will be shut down the end of this month, so you need to go ahead and switch over.
But are those sign-ons from that still good?
Yes, they're using those sign-ons to authenticate you. You are
okay.
The person that should be signing in here.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you do the state sales tax, that's two different situations where you have to go in and actually file and then go in again and pay. Is that correct?
Well, on the state return, yes, that is two different procedures. You file the state return, and then on the confirmation page, it takes you through the payment portion of it. So you actually end up with two confirmations for the state return.
Right.
On the local return, you will have one confirmation because you've done the return with payment all in one step.
Okay, and see, I made the mistake when I've the first time I did my local returns of doing it just like the state returns, not realizing that I actually paid twice. So this month when I go in to do my sales tax for August, it's supposed to be fixed to where I can go in and use credit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was told anyway, but I'll see about that whenever I go to do it. But I want to let other people know that on the local tax thing, it's not a two-step process. It is with the state, because I did make the mistake, and it cost me about $2,000 on, you know, which of course I'll get back, but it's, you know, it's still the point of being out of it for 2 months.
Right. Yes, that is.
as she said, it is a one-step process for the local return. You do the return and payment information before you ever submit and get a confirmation. But on the state return, you do the state return, get a confirmation. Then you do the payment portion and get a confirmation for that.
Say that again.
Okay. On the local return, it's a one-step process. You do your return and the payment before you ever submit and get
okay.
a confirmation. But on the state return, you do the return, you submit it, and you get a confirmation, and then it takes you through the payment part, and you get a confirmation on that. So
okay.
the state return is a two-step process where the local return is consolidated into one process.
But the state return will keep leading you to pay.
Right, it does.
Okay.
On the confirmation
okay.
page, it does provide the payment.
Okay, okay.
I would like to also let you know where you can go to find more information and more documents such as what we went through. If you go to the Department of Revenue's website, which is revenue.alabama.gov, Alabama is spelled out, and then in the gray menu bar, there's a divisions, and under divisions, you would go to sales and use tax. And on that page, there'll be a black menu bar on the left, and if you click on the e-filing link, that page provides a lot of links to other information that may be useful to you. There's information there regarding the upload templates and the bulk filing if you have many customers to file for.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay, I'm going to turn this back over to Mr. Dart. Hold on, please.
Wanda, thank you so much for that information. As she mentioned, we hope to have this presentation up on our websites pretty quickly, and you can also contact us with your questions. Let me give you some contact information one more time. For the Alabama Retail Association, the website is www.alabamaretail.org. If you want to email a question, you can send it to awingate@alabamaretail.org. And their phone number is 334-263-5757. For auto dealers, it's www.adaaweb.com. Phone number is 334-271-4625. And the contact person is Sheree, Sheree, at adaaweb.com. Also might mention one last time that the Department of Revenue will be doing a hands-on demonstration of this program tomorrow at their office in downtown Montgomery, right down from the state capitol, at 50 North Ripley Street in the auditorium. So a lot of opportunities to learn how to work this program. I think it's going to be really great when it's up and running and everybody gets used to it. Thank you for participating.
Thank you.